Today's share is Masechta Menachas Daf Chav Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Gimel on the Be'ez, two lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Kisolk Rav Kahana. Gemara Rav Kahana came from Bavel to Yisrael. Ashkechinu Lebnei Rav Chia. He found the children of Rav Chia, the Yasiv Ka'amri. They were sitting and they were discussing the following halacha. Isarin. We know that a Kavan Mincha that we typically describe when we speak about a Kavan Mincha, it comes with an Isarin, a flower, Shechilik, that was divided into two Vinicha Bebisa, and it was put into a Klisharis, the Klisharis that we've been speaking about so often in our Masechta, the Klisharis that they put the Kavan Mincha to make a Kavan Mincha in that. To make a Kavan Mincha in that Klisharis. And not a Tfil Yoyim. A Tfil Yoyim is a person who was Tamei with a Tumma Daraisa, and that the Torah says that such an individual should go to the mikvah, but just because he went to the mikvah, he isn't completely Tahor. He gets the status of a Tfil Yoyim. A Tfil Yoyim is a drop lower level tuma than regular tuma. Whatever he touches becomes puzzle. It becomes puzzle, and now that means it doesn't spread tuma further. And now the question is: this tful yoim touched one of the halves of the sisarin that's in this vessel. And he touched one of the two sides. Mahu, so the Gemara wants to identify what would be the halacha. Mi kitnan, the Mishnah Masechta Chagiga, Daf Chof Amud Beis teaches us, Hakli Mitzar Shem Toichel Kodesh, that if there's separate pieces of Kodesh in one keli, and the Tfil Yoyim touched one of them, they all become posel. Because the keli is mitzarif, it combines everything that's in that keli, that it should be considered like one piece. Do we say that when does that halacha apply? Hani b'leheicher the nagi ba'adadi, that when they're touching each other. So of course the Oyel Shloima asked the obvious question. If we are speaking here about a situation that the parts and the keli touch each other, then of course they become tamei from the fact that one is touching each other. Says the Oyel Shloima that our Gemara is following the opinion that says that, as we said a moment ago, that the level of tuma something attains by having been touched by Tfil Yoyim is a very low level tuma. Since it's a very low level tuma, the halacha is, even if it's touching something else, the halacha is that it doesn't make the other thing tamei. So, what are we going to rely on? We're going to rely on tzirif kli. And now the Gemara is asking, when do we say tzirif kli? Do we only say tzirif kli, hani mila hecha nagi badadi, when they touch each other? Idilma, Loishna, it doesn't make a difference. Anything that's in the same keli, we have the concept of tzirif keli. Interesting, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The halacha is Rashi and Tosfos disagree. We know that food, in order to be able to become tamei, food has to have hechsher. We has to become in contact with liquid, mukshel kavol tuma. So the question that they discuss is what would be the halacha when you have two foods in a keli and one becomes mukshel kavol tuma, will that affect the other, make it all mukshel kavol tuma? Tosfos seems to say that yes, that if one food that's in a keli becomes mukshel kavol tuma, the halacha of tzirif keli will tell us that it applies to all the food in that keli. Rashi disagrees. The another question, when we speak about food becoming tamei, the halacha is, there's a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, how much food do you need to have to spread tumah, to obtain tumah? But everybody agrees that in order to spread tumah, you have to have a kebaya. So the Rishonim discuss this halacha. As far as our Gemara is concerned, and they say that what does Tziruf Keli speak about? Is Tziruf Keli speaking about where you had a kebaya at least, or even if you don't have a kebaya, you could still say Tziruf Keli? The halacha that we quoted, the Mishnah Masech the Chagiga, says about Tziruf Keli, is learned from what the Torah says by the Kabbonis of the Nasiyim. By the Kabbonis of the Nasiyim, Torah says, Kaf Achaz Asar Zav Malayik Torah. And the Gemara explains, Hakosv Osul Komash Vakaf. The Torah makes everything that's in that spoon Achaz. So we see from here that everything that's in one Keli is combined. Of course, the question is that the story of the Nasiyim and the Kabbonis that the Nasiyim brought by the inauguration of the Mishkan was a one-time event. And we've learned sugyas that we don't learn Doris Mishah. So why are we able to learn from what happened by the Nasiyim, the halacha of Tziruf Keli? Tziruf Keli was a one-time event. So the Rishonim answer that since the Torah, as we know in Parashas Nasai, repeats so many times over what happened with the Nasiyim, the fact that the Torah repeats that halacha so many times is to teach us that this halacha is applicable for all future generations. But this actually opens up a big machlokes Rishonim, because we're learning in our sugya the concept of Tziruf Keli. It's going to be a big part of our shiur today. And there's a machlokes Rishonim if this halacha of Tziruf Keli, is it a deraisa or is it a derabbanan? And the Rashba's opinion is that it is it's only a derabbanan. There are other Rishonim that say that this concept of learning of Tziruf Keli is actually a deraisa. The Meshech Chachma asks a question. We just said that this halacha of Tziruf Keli is we learned from the pasuk Kaf Achas Asar Zah Malayik Tyrus. But ask the Meshech Chachma, there are other psukim that come earlier in that parasha that also teach this lesson. The pasuk says, Karas Kesef Achas, Mizrak Echad Kesef. So isn't that an indication that everything that's in the Mizrak, everything in the Karas combined? Why don't we learn it here? Says the Meshech Chachma, there's a very different difference between the kaf and the mizrak and the kara. He says the mizrak and the kara, whatever is put into the mizrak and kara, were not yet kodesh. And when they're put into the mizrak and kara, then they become kodesh. But the kaf is already, when they put the ingredients into the kaf, they were already kodesh. And therefore, the halacha is that that's the place to learn the halacha of Tziruf Keli. The Rabbi Leib Malin Zitzal tries to understand this concept of Tziruf Keli. He wants to know, is it a din in the Keli, that everything in the Keli is considered one? Or is it a din in the food? Is it the halacha is that all the food is considered as one? And I think according to the Migdash David, it could be understood what would be the nafkamina between these two approaches that Reb Leib Malin Zatzal tries to establish. What would be the halacha? Our Gemara, when it began the sugya of Tziruf Keli, spoke about the two different parts of a Karban Mincha. But when we speak about the two different parts of the Karban Mincha, they're both exactly the same. They're both ingredients that make a Karban Mincha. What would be the halacha, however, when we have two different foods, two different types of food, and they're in one keli. So the Mikdash David considers, would we say in that case the halacha of tziruf keli? And perhaps, based on what Rabbi Leib Malin discusses, we can understand the nafkamina and the shaila. If we say that it's a din in the keli, that there's a halacha that the keli combines everything in it, so then it wouldn't make a difference if it's different types of food or the same type of food. There's a halacha that whatever is in the keli becomes combined. But if it's a din in the food, so maybe the halacha will be that only food that's the same type of food becomes mitzuruf, becomes combined. But if it's not the same type of food, then we won't say tziruf keli. So again, the question is that the question that the Gemara is posing is, when we say tziruf keli, do we only say it when the foods are touching or not? Amalei ihu. So Rav Kahana said to the Bnei Rav Chiya, mitnan. Do we say hakli mechaber? That if the Chazal would have used the words hakli mechaber, so then it would be indeed seemingly in a case where they're touching each other. But the word of Chazal, hakli mitzarif tanan. So any type of situation where they are in the same keli will make them combined, and even though they're not touching. Continues the Gemara, the Bnei Rav Chiya continued to ask Rav Kahana another question. If somebody put in another chatzi asorin into this keli, now this new chatzi asorin that was put into the keli is not needed for the Karban Mincha, because as we began our shiur, the keli has in it two chatzi asorin. Two chatzi asorin combined to make a Karban Mincha. And now we put in a third chatzi asorin was put in here, which is not necessary. So, and the tful yoim touched that new chatzi asorin. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Do we say only what belongs there is going to make a combination or not? Amalhu. So Rav Kahana again responded, tzarchul keli, anything that belongs in the keli, that's where we have this new din of Hakli Mitzarfoi. But ain't Tzarchel Keli. This new half isorin is extraneous. Then the aloch is ain't Kli Mitzarfoi. The way that Tori Evan explains this Gemara is that, as we've been learning in our shiurim, the halacha is, as we've been learning in our shiurim, the Karban Mincha needs to be put into the Keli. That's a vital step in the Karban Mincha becoming a Karban Mincha. So only what's going to be used in the Karban Mincha becomes part, the keli can affect. But something that's not going to be part of this Karban Mincha, that doesn't belong in that keli. However, the Yafei Anayim has a very interesting approach to this Gemara. And he says, why will be the halacha, whereas we began our shiur, we have the two halves of the Isorin, which are needed to make a Karban Mincha. And then we have in here, besides the two halves that are needed to make the Karban Mincha, we also have this new Isorin, but it's needed to be put in there not to make into a Karban Mincha, but we want to keep it somewhere. And this is the best place to keep it, that it shouldn't get ruined. The halacha is that he says that when the Gemara has said tzorchul keli, anything that needs the keli, kli mitzarfoi, that will be in the category of keli mitzarfoi. The Yafei Naim also wants to suggest that, as we said a few moments ago, there's a machlokes rishonim about this concept of tziruf keli. And when do we say tziruf keli? Is it the deraisa or the rabbanon? So he wants to suggest that the entire discussion in the Gemara, if something is extraneous and is in the keli, will the keli be mitzarefet or not, is only according to the opinion that seer of keli is the rabbanon. But according to the opinion that seer of keli is deraisa, There's no question that anything that's in the keli becomes combined. Next question that the Bnei Reb Chiya asked of Kahana. If a Tfilyoim put his finger into the avir, into the airspace of this keli, but he didn't touch either half of the Karban Milcha, Mahu, what would be the halacha then? And Amalu Rav Kahana told them, that Tumah should be able to be spread from airspace was only said by Kli Cheres Bovad. It's a special halacha that was said by Kli Cheres, and here where it's not a Kli Cheres, there is no question that that's not the way you spread Tumah. Says the Gemara, now Hadi by Minaihu. Now Rav Kahana turned around and asked the Bnei Rav Chiya, Ma Likmetz Mzelze, if you have two halves of a Kama Mincha that are one Keli, they're not touching each other, can these two halves be considered combined? That, as we're learning in our Shir, that Tumah spreads. From one to the other, will we say the same as here as well? To as far as kmitza, and they consider combined that you could do kmitza as if they're one big karban mincha. And the Gemara wants to say that this is connected to the question tzirif deraisa or the rabbanon. If it's deraisa, then the halacha is it should be considered a proper situation of one karban mincha. If it's not combined, then the halach is that it's not going to be enough. The Stipler has a very interesting discussion. Why should we treat tumah different than kmitza? If it's combined or it's combined, and if it's not combined, it's not combined. So the simple teretz is that l'chumra, to make things be considered tumah, we find Chazal may many such chumras, but such chumras were not said, but we don't use it lakula and say that the kmitza one part should be valid for the entire thing. That's the simple way of learning. The other way of learning is that what means to be considered the one for tumah is very different than what needs to be considered the same for kaimitz. For kaimitz, you have to have one karban mincha. And maybe this is not enough to be considered one karban mincha, but to say for tumah, we never really need to have that it's one piece that tumah should be able to spread, and therefore the halach is that it may be for tumah it spreads, but it doesn't spread to be considered one for one from kmitza. Amalhu, so the Bnei Rav Chiya said to Rav Kahana, Zulo Shemano, we don't really have an answer to this specific question. However, Kiyotzba Shemano, we have an answer to a similar kasha question. The Tanan Shnei Menachos Lo Nikmetzu. We learned in our Mishnah that we have two Karban Minchas that the Kmitza was not taken from either. And then these two Karban Minchas got mixed up. So the Mishnah taught us, Im Yochel Likmet Mezeb Efnei Atman Bezub Efnei Atzmai. If it's a situation where we could take kmitza from each one of these karban minchas separately, then the halach is ksheris. We could take a karban mincha, we could take a kmitza from each one. Vimlav, and we can't do so, psulis. So we learn from here, ki yochel likmetz mei ksheris. If you could do two separate kmitzas, we'll have two separate kosher karban mincha. But the question is, amai? The part of the Karban Mincha that's mixed together with the other Karban Mincha is not touching its kaimitz. You know, the way the Gemara is learning the case is we have one big keli, we have two Karban Minchas, part of the Karban Minchas are separate, enough that we can be able to use those parts for the kmitza, and then we have something in the middle that's the remainder of both of these Karban Minchas. which are separate from the part that we're going to take kavitsa from. Yet, the Mishnah is telling us it doesn't prevent us from being able to do kavitsa. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, Dilma begushra mechulukim asuim v'masarik. The case of our Mishnah is speaking about not that they're completely separated. The part from which we could take the kaimitz is not completely separated from the rest of the Karban Mincha. They're only somewhat separated. They're still connected, like a comb, where in one part it's one piece and then it turns into teeth. And therefore, that's why they're considered connected. So the question is, my havala, what is the halacha in such a situation? Says the Gemara Amarava Toshma, the Tanya the Brisa that brings about the Pasik that speaks about the Karban Mincha, says Vaher Mimenu Bekumtza. We learn from the word Mimenu Minamechubar that at the time of the Kemitza, all of the ingredients have to be connected. Meaning, Shloyavi Sarin Bishnei Kalim, we can't bring the Sarin of flour that we need for the Karban Mincha and two separate Kalim, the Yikmetz, because that's too much of a separation. However, we learn from here, aha, b'klei echad dumi d'shnei kelim, as long as all of the ingredients are in one keli, even though that they're not touching, the halacha is that it's satisfactory. So it's a raya to what we're discussing, that as long as they're in one keli, the fact that they're not touching doesn't disqualify. The Makar Baruch quotes Rav Yitzchak Chanan de Zeche Yitzchak, what is the basis of this halacha? That if all the ingredients of the Karban Mincha are not in one keli, we can't do kamitza for both of them. Because what happens, he explains, as we've learned so many times, when kamitza is performed, we have the kamitza, and then we have the shrayim. But what we want to designate as shrayim is not in the same keli, then it can't get a designation of shrayim. And that's why it's not an acceptable way of shrayim. Another way that Rabbi Yalei Malin wants to explain, he says, what is the definition of kmitza? The definition of kmitza is that I have all of the ingredients that we need to make a karban mincha, and after we have all of the ingredients that we need to make a karban mincha, we then take off a kaimitz and do with it what has to be done with a kaimitz. So he suggests that the disqualification here is a different disqualification altogether. The disqualification here is that if they're not all in the same keli, if all the ingredients are not in the same keli, then it's impossible to do a proper kmitza. And without a proper kmitza, obviously, we don't have a proper kaimitz. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says, to Rav Adilma, b'shnei kelim, that when it says shnei kelim, hechidomi, what was meant, kigon kfiz makaba, that he dug out a small keli in the bottom or on the sides of a big keli. And he put chatzi sarin in the big keli, and he put another chatzi sarin in that small keli. Davgav de roivi miloi, that even though above they're connected, the top part there's only one keli. Kivin the mifsik mechsit the kvisa betatzah, but since on the bottom we have two separate kelim, the fact that on top they're combined is not going to be adequate. It's not going to be adequate that they should be combined. But if you'll have two kelim that are similar to one keli, why will that be? They used to have like a big box that they used to put food for the chickens. And there was a small mechitza, there's a small partition between the place in that box where they kept the water and the place in the box where they kept the bran, because they didn't want the bran to get all soggy from the water. But that partition is only on the bottom. It doesn't reach to the top. So there, even though it's separated on the bottom, but there's still a part within the keli that's connected. So the way I understand the Gemara is that there's a difference where within the keli there's place for combination versus where the combination is only on top of the keli, what's outside the interior of the keli. So here, what's on top of these low partitions that don't reach till the top of the keli are touching. The line of gear cloud. So there they're touching. And since they're touching, that makes it into a combination. But in a case like we're discussing, where you have the halves of the sorin, even though they're in one keli, the halacha is that they're not touching, their halacha will be that tibay loch, is that going, will the keli be mitzarf or not? This is a very important question that the Paiskim used to discuss. We know that when we bake a certain rake with 5 pounds of flour approximately, we have to take challah. The way challah is taken is by putting, comes up very often in the matzah bakeries. They put all the baked matzahs into one keli, and they take challah for all that matzah. And we have to be very careful that there should be no partitions between all the matzahs that are in one keli. Because if there are partitions, then it won't be considered one keli. If it won't be considered one keli, it will not be acceptable way that it could be, that we could take matzah that way. Continues the Gemara. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Tzir of Keli, we have a Chatzi Tzorin that became Tomei because of Tzir of Keli, where we began our Shir with, where we have two Chatzi Tzorin and one Keli that are not touching each other. But we learned if Tuma touches one of them, then the other half also becomes Tomei because of the Halach of Tzir of Keli. And outside of this Keli, there's another Chatzi Tzorin that's connected through water. There's liquid connecting them. Mahu, will that tumma spread to that chatzi sarin that's outside? And the Gemara explains the question. Kit nan, when we've been learning in our shir, asked the Gemara, that kli mitzarv mash betoich l'kodesh, hanim mili de gavoi. That was only said regarding what's inside the keli. Av de baroi, anything that's outside the keli, loy, that isn't going to become considered connected. Oidama, kivin mechabachaba. We have a way that they're connected. Once we have a way that they're connected, it's enough to connect them. Vimtim tzloimer. So continues the Gemara. And if we will indeed suggest, kivin mechabachaba, since they are connected, what will be the question? What will be the halacha now? Asked the Gemara. Chibemai v'tziba keli, v'naga tfilyoim v'chutz mahu. Where we have a chatzi chisorin outside the keli, and it's connected to another chatzi tzorin in the keli through the water. A tful yoin touch the chatzi tzorin that's outside the keli. So certainly that chatzi tzorin, which is outside the keli, became tamei. And not only is that tamei, it also makes the chatzi tzorin that's in the keli tamei because it's connected to each other. Now, can we use the concept of Tzir of Keli, and that Chatzi Yisorin that's in the same, that got Tomei, because it was connected to the Chatzi Yisorin that became Tomei that's outside the Keli, make the other Chatzi Yisorin that's in the Keli Tomei? Do we say, Hanimil Kitanan, when do we say the concept of Tzir of Keli, suggests the Gemara? Kitanan Klimit Tzarev, Hanimil the Nogim Gavoi. That one of the things in the keli became tamei through, one of the things that became tamei within the keli. But if it became tamei because of something outside the keli, avma broi, if it became tamei because of something that's outside the keli, now loch is, that's not considered enough of a connection. Adam aloi shna, it's all considered connected. And this concept of connection. What is considered enough of a connection? What is not considered enough of connection is a very important concept that we use in our shir. The question that the Paiskim discuss is, for example, if we have on Shabbos a challah, and we know for Lach Mishta we have to have a whole challah, but we only have two halves, but we connect them somehow. Or on Sukkos, the halacha is that an esrig is missing the pitim, is a chaser, and we somehow reconnect the pitim to the esrig. We put in a pin to reconnect the pitim to the esrig. The question will be, in all these situations, will that be enough of a way to make the esrig kosher? So there's no question that on the first day of Sukkos, where the Torah, where the halacha is very strict, that we're not allowed to use an esrig, which is a chaser, just reconnecting the pitim that way would certainly not be acceptable. Furthermore, many paiskim suggest that on Yontav Sheni in Chutzlaretz, so that we treat, the halacha treats Yontav Sheni in Chutzlaretz like the first day Yontav. And if we're learning that in the first day Yontav this would not be acceptable, it wouldn't be acceptable on the second day as well. But then there's a tshuva that the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Shvat Yaakov in Chelik Aleph Simon Lamed Hei. And he wants to differentiate between a challah, where we need a whole challah for an Erev, versus for a pitten. And he says, for a challah, the reason we need to have a whole challah is only because of COVID. And since it's only because of COVID, as long as it looks like a whole challah, then it's good enough. But when we speak about an esrig that's missing the pitim, there's a whole new concern. There's a concern of that it's a chaser. And if it's a chaser, an artificial connection will not make it that it's not chaser again. On the other hand, the Paiskim say that maybe, again, not the first day or second day of Yontif, but during the rest of Yontif, all that the halacha is really looking for is that it should look like a whole esrig. And that's all that the halacha looks for. The many Paiskim that discuss the situation, Ramosha, Der Tzvi, I saw discuss, we know that the halacha is that tefillin has to be merubah. Tefillin has to be a perfect square. What is the halacha if it looks like a perfect square, but if we wouldn't have a perfect square, then where we measure it? Is that adequate, or does it have to look like a perfect square? And most Paiskim are very, very clear in their opinion that all the halacha requires is that it should look like a square. That's enough to fulfill that requirement. If that is the case, maybe here, since it looks like a whole esrig, it would be considered a proper esrig. Continues the Gemara. By Rava, Yisar Shechelko, they divided the Yisar into two, v'nitma echabahem, and one half of the Yisar became Tamei, v'nicha bebisa, and then it was put into a keli, where there's another half in it. And now, v'chazet f'l'yoyim v'nagabaisa Tamei, the part that's Tamei, a tfilyoyim touched it again. So the Gemara's question is, now, if they're in one keli, where the chatzi sarin was put into the keli when it was already tamei, the concept that we're learning in our shir today of tzir of keli would not be applicable, because we only use the concept of tzir of keli when one became tamei while the other one was in the same keli. Here it's already tamei, so then we can't use the concept of tzir of keli. But the Gemara's question is speaking about a case where tefillin touched the half again. Mi'amrinan, and now the Gemara introduces a new consideration. And that is, do we say the concept of savalei tuma? Something that's tamei already cannot become further tamei. And the fact that the tefillin touched it should make no difference? Or loy, we don't have a concept of savloy tama. And even though it's already tame, but the tful yom touching it now, it creates the tzir of keli that we've been discussing throughout our shir. Rabbi Chanan the Kovet Shurim wants to say that the concept of savloy tama is a concept that we often find in Shas, and that's the concept of Enes Achala Lisser. Enes Achala Lisser means that something that's Osir cannot become Osir again. And that's why Rabbi Chanan says that that would be the same here. If something is already Tameh, it cannot become Tameh again. Many Achroinim, the Karen Oira, Sfasemis, say that this is actually not related to the concept of Enes Achala Lisser, because they explain that even according to the opinions that say Eina Sechala Lisser, we always say that something that's Osir cannot become Osir again. But let's say the first Isser somehow falls away. The second Isser, the way it's always explained in the yeshivas, is hovering over this. And as soon as the first Isser, for whatever reason, falls away, the second Isser will come into play. But here, if we say Savala Tumah, it means that the Tumah never becomes Tameh because of the second Tumah. And therefore, if for some reason the first Tumah is going to fall away, we won't say, well, now the second Tumah is ready to be Chal. It won't fall on it because it never was susceptible to that Tumah. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. So Abaya said to Rava, Umi aminin savla tuma, is there such a concept for Tanan? The Mishnah Masechta Kelim speaks about a sadin, which is meant to sit or lay on. Tamei medris. There's a new tuma that the Torah speaks about when somebody becomes tamei like a zav, which is a tuma that emanates from one's body. Any keli that is meant to sit or lay on becomes tamei. And not only does it become Tamei, it becomes a very high level Tumah. It becomes an Ava Tumah to the degree that's Matama. It has the ability to transmit Tumah to Adam V'Kalim. And food that touches Oichel Mashkin, anything that touches that Medrash will now become a Rishon L'Tumah. So Tum and Medris, if you have something that was used that the Zov sat or laid on, and Nav also Vilan. And as the Rishonim explain, something can lose its status for Tumah by doing something to it. Just making a decision that I'm not going to be using this piece of material for sitting or laying on anymore. I'm only going to use it as a curtain is inadequate. You have to do something to make it into a Vilan, which is what happened. You made it into a curtain. So Tameh Medris. It can't be Tameh Medris anymore. And since it can't be Tameh Medris, it's not Avatama. It's not Matama Adam Kalim. Avatama Maga Medris. The Maga Medris, that's something that's touched by something that was Tameh. Anything that was touched by Avatama, that it still retains. Because when it was used for laying, it was a Tumah Medris. Now, everything that's in this piece of material touched something that was a Tumah Medris. And since it all touched something which is a Tumah Medris, at least it has the lower level Tumah. It has the level of Tumah Maga Medris, which is original Tumah. Ask Rabbi Yossi, Beza Medris Nogaza, how does this become Tomei Maga Madras? It's a Maga based astorim. They didn't have like something. Tumah always means, asks Rabbi Yossi, that something Tomei touched something else. Here it's all one piece. That's called Tumah based astorim. Says the Gemara, El Shem Nagaba Azov, Tomei Maga Azov. What we're learning here is that if the Zov touched this piece of material, that means besides the Zov sitting or laying on this piece of material, he also touched it. It retains the Tumah Maga Zov, says the Gemara. What are we saying here? Kinogaba Zov, if the Zov had touched it, it's Mia Tame. It has Tumas Maga. Vafilu B'Saif. Even if the Zov touched it after he sat or laid on it. But why don't we say, ask the Gemara, according to what we're learning in our Shia now, Savalei Tuma. The Ava Tuma of Tuma Medris is a much higher level Tuma. And already became Tummy with a Tumas Medris. How could it now become Tummy with Tumas Maga if we say Savalei Tuma, that something that's Tummy to the highest degree cannot absorb any more Tuma? Amalei. So Rava responds to Baya. Who says the way to understand that case is Shemnogaba Zov Labasa Medris? That first it became Tomei Medris, and then it became Tomei Maga Medris. And you say, how could something which is already on that high level of Tomei Maga, Tomei Medris, now, so Sovle Tomei, it's on the highest level of Tomei, now have a Tomei Maga Medris? Maybe what happened over here was, Tomei Mekame Medris, first it became Tomei Medris, Dava Tomei Chamura, a Tomei Kama. Maybe what happened for us was that the Zov touched it and became Tumah Maga Medris before it became Tumah Madris. Avalhocha, in our case, the Idividi, that's why we don't say Sovela Tumah, because it became Tumah Maga before it became Tumah Medris. But here, where it's not a higher level Tumah, or the two Tumahs of the Tful Yoyim did not come at the same time, we will say indeed the concept of Sovela Tumah. Says the Gemara Masefa. The question of Savla Tuma can be learned from the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah there continues teaching us. The Maida Rabbi Yossi says to the Chachamim, B'shnei Sadinen Hamakupolim U'menachem Zel Zeh. If you have two pieces of material, V'yoshev Zov Aleim, one on top of the other, and the Zov sat on one, Elyon Tami Medris, the upper one is Tami Medris, Tachten is Tami Medris. The bottom one is also Tumas Medris, and also has Tumas Maga Medris, because it's a Tumas Medris, because the Zov is sitting on all the blankets, and the halacha for Tumas Medris is that if a Zov is sitting on a number of things that are meant for sitting on, the entire pile becomes Tumas Medris, and the one on the bottom is also Tumas Maga Medris, because it came in contact with the upper piece of material. But the question is, Amai, why do we want to say Savalei Tuma? The bottom one has a Tumas Medris. Once the bottom piece of material has a Tumas Medris, how could it also attain a Tumas Maga Medris? Answers the Gemara, very simple. Hosom Mabas Achas. It became Tumas Medris and Maga Medris at the same time. Since it came at the same time, both could be there. But here, the question that we're speaking about in our shir is Bezeh Chazeh. The first, it became Tumas because Tful Yom touched it. And now, another time that happens. Maybe there we'll say Savalei Tuma. Amar Rava, Isarin Shechilku. If you had an Isarin, going back to the Karban Mincha, we have an Isarin of a Karban Mincha that was divided in two, Vavad Achmehem, and one of the two halves was lost. Vivash Achatachtav. So they designated another half of Sarin to be there, to be used for this Karban Mincha, that we should have the entire, a whole of Sarin, which is the amount that we need for Karban Mincha. The Hifrish Achatachtav. And then the Nimtza Rishon. And then the first half, which was lost, was found. And now we have these three half isarins all in one vessel. So the halach is nitma avid if the chatzi isarin that got lost became tamei. So the halach is avid v'rishim mitzdarfin. The chatzi isarin that was lost and the original chatzi isarin that was never lost are combined through this keli as one mincha because they were meant to be brought together. The mufrish, the new half, which was not originally meant to be brought with this Karban Mincha. It was only meant to be used if we won't find the half that was lost. But now that we found the half that's lost, it doesn't belong here and therefore it doesn't become tamei because it's in the akeli. Next case, nita mufrish, the new half that was designated. Mufrish verishim mitzdarfen, the one that was designated later, and the original half that never was lost, combined, because they were meant to be combined. Ovid, but the part that was lost was never meant to be combined with the part that was newly designated. Since it was never meant to be used there, it's not mitzdarf. Next case, nitmarishin, if the original half that was never lost became tamei, so shnei mitzdarfin, they both can combine, because both of them, at a certain point, were meant to combine with that original hafi sarin. Abaye disagrees. And Abaye am afilu nitma echem mehem, if any of them, any of these half become tamei, they're all going to combine. It doesn't make a difference which is the one that becomes tamei, the rest will combine. Why? They're all in one vessel, and that's why they're all combined. And says the Gemara, the same achloikas that we have, Rav and Abaya, regarding tumah, would be regarding the kamitza. That again, we started with two halves of an isorin. One half got lost, and now we designated another half, and now we have all three of these halves in one keli. So, kametz min avud, the aloche, and now you found the original half, and that was from where you take the kamitza, shiorov, the shiraim that's left over from the rest of that half, and the rishon, the half that was there all along, nechalim. Mufrish, but the half isorin that was designated later won't be eaten, because it doesn't combine to be considered shiraim, doesn't combine into this Karban Mincha, that it should be considered shiraim that had a proper kamitza taken from it. Continues Rava, comments min mufrish, if you took the kamitza from this newly designated half, so what's left over from that mufrish after the kamitza was done, v'rishon, and the original half nechalim, because they were meant to combine. However, the ovid, the half that was lost, ain't a nechal, because it was not meant to combine with the part that was newly designated. Kametz min arishin, if you take off the kamitza from the first half, shneim en nechalim, because we don't know which is the half that is to be combined with that original half. Since we don't know which is the half that's supposed to be combined with that original half, so therefore we can't identify either of them as the shirayim. Abaye again disagrees. Abaye amafil kometz mechamehem, even if you did kamitza from any of them, the loch is shneim en chalim, the two other halves can't be eaten. My tama, because says Abaye, kula nami b'nei biksida dodi nenu, they were all put into the same keli. Since they were all put into the same keli, they're all one kama mincha, and we don't know which is the one that's the shrine and which is not. Ask the Gemara, maskler a papa, but ask a papa both on Abaye v'Rava. V'shrine the dom mi nechalim. Both Abaye and Rava agree that if you took the kamitza from the original half, you won't be able to eat from the other two halves. Vikadanka the kaimitz to like harif. So now we have a problem. The kaimitz is supposed to cover the holy sarin. And here the kaimitz is only covering the kaimitz is each half represents a third of the kaimitz. And since each half represents a third of the kaimitz, but we're taking it from two, but we have three. So the kaimitz is not a proper kaimitz, says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Maskla Rav Yitzchak Rei Mishasha, the kaimitz kufa heche karev. How can we even take the karev? Heke tulos achulin. We have here not the proper amount of shrayim, because we have two half isorins, but we don't know which half isorin is the half isorin that's going to be shrayim, and which half isorin is not shrayim. So we don't have enough shrayim. Amar Ravashi, kaimitz bedat kaim tal milsa, kaimitz as sorin ka kaimitz. So answers the Gemara that The Kohen is the one that makes the designation. And the Kohen sees that there are two other halves here. He has the right to make the determination which half is going to combine with the half from which he's taking the Kohenets. And the other half that's sitting in this Keli will not combine. So based on what the Kohen's decision is, we will have a Nisorin and not more than Nisorin. And therefore, the fact that we're ending up not having enough Shrayim or not having enough Kohenets, or the Kohenets is not covering enough, all fall away.